Well, that was one of the few times that I heard the brass play without me, and I learned something. They don't need me. It was a nice job, as well as the choir and everybody. Well, good morning, and I can say that and be right for a change. It's good to see everybody, especially the children. I remember vividly the day my children were born. And the one thing that stuck out that I remember the most, although I remember a lot of things, the one thing that stuck out the most with me, made the greatest impression, was seeing their name in print for the first time. Their names jumped off the page. I realized that they were now individuals. And it was really kind of special. Their name gave them identity. I now knew them by name. And what's in a name? Well, there's something special about our name. And we like to know where our name originated, don't we? We like to know if we had any relatives that had our name, or how many ancestors in the past had our name. The question might come up is our name in the Bible? Well, my daughter asked me that very same question a few months ago. And her name is Angela. Now, I didn't recall reading the name Angela in the Bible, but of course there are many names in the Bible. I don't have them all memorized. When she asked me that question, I also didn't have a list of all the names that were in the Bible. I knew the word angel appeared many times, but I don't remember seeing the name specifically, Angela. So I went to my concordance. Remember those in the book? Not the CD-ROM version, but the old-fashioned kind. And I looked up the name Angela. Well, I didn't find it. So I thought, well, maybe not every name that's in the Bible is recorded in the concordance. And they're not. So I decided to do my own search in the Bible for her name. Well, the project got bigger. My son boasted that his name was in the Bible. His name is Joseph. And of course, he was right. Well, then to my surprise, my wife wanted to know if her name was in the Bible. Her name is Pamela, and it wasn't. Well, then I thought, well, what about my name? I was curious to know if my name was in the Bible. My name is Dennis. Well, it wasn't. But I do know that Daniel, Dennis actually is a variation of the name Daniel, so I'm counting it. I wanted to then know how many of the common names that we hear today, people use for children, are in the Bible. Well, I couldn't just stop there, could I? So I decided to do a search of all the names in the Bible. I began doing it manually, recording them page by page. I don't have that much time, but actually it took me a long time to do it. And I'm not claiming that it's accurate. Perhaps maybe you'll want to do your own search, check out all the names in the Bible. But here's some of the things I discovered. I found 1,790 names in the Bible. 1,658 males and 132 females. Sorry, ladies. These are names of people, and you had to breathe air to be on my list. So the names of angels or pagan gods aren't included, although, did you know, the name Zeus does appear. It's the name given to Barnabas by the Lyconians in Acts 14:12. You can look that up at your leisure. The names on my list represent the first time they appear in Scripture. I recorded them by order of appearance and alphabetically. And in many cases, as you probably well know, names appear in the Bible more than once, either as the same person or someone new by the same name. I recorded them only once. I like research, but come on, okay? Although halfway into it, I thought I should have recorded the number of individuals. That would have been interesting, and not just the names, but I didn't go back and start over, and I'm not going to. A couple of other interesting facts. Did you know there were two Noahs? Noah of the flood, of course, but there was another Noah, a female found in Numbers 26, verse 33. You can look that up, too. And did you know that the name Jesus was used to identify another person? He was called Justice, but Paul identifies him as being known also as Jesus in Colossians 4:11. In some cases, an individual had more than one name, and we know the story about some of those as well. Because I based my research on names and not people, I didn't research how many separate individuals were mentioned in the Bible. However, I presume now that 1,790 names were used to identify all of them. Could be wrong. All 26 letters of the alphabet are represented on the list of names, however, not equally. The most common are names that begin with the letter A. There are 240 of those, followed by the letter J. There's 199 of them. And then the letter S. 180 names. I'm not going to go through each letter. That's enough. There are only two names that start with the letter Q. There are three names that begin with the letter F, and five that begin with the letter V. 1,595 names appear in the Old Testament versus 195 names in the New Testament. The first name recorded in the Bible, we all know that, is Adam. And the last name that appears for the first time is Jude. There are 314 different names in Genesis, but 1 Chronicles actually has the most names. There's 498 in 1 Chronicles. The book of Acts leads the way in the New Testament with 61 names. The longest non-hyphened name is Nebuchadnezzar with 14 letters. The longest hyphened name, because there's a lot of those, is, here I go, Mahershalal Hashbaz, which contains 18 letters and 3 hyphens, and it's spelled just like it sounds. So when you write it down in your notes, you know, it's just like that. The shortest names are use 2 letters, and there are 6 of those. Uz, On, Og, and Ur, spelled 3 different ways. Er, Ir, and Ur. And one more bit of name trivia. Alphabetically, Aaron is the first on the list, and Zurishaddai is the last. Okay. It took me about 4 months to research all the names. And then I found out a couple of weeks ago when I asked Mr. Fay for some feedback on my sermonette that he has a book. And it's called Everyone in the Bible by William P. Barker, which lists 2,800 separate individuals. Wow, that would have been helpful. But I'm glad I didn't have the book, and I'm glad I did the research on my own. My list, again, is just names that represent the first time a specific name is used in the Bible, which is why I believe I only came up with 1,790. And the research was fun. But what might we learn about the list of names and the people in Scripture? The main lesson for me was that the Bible is not just prophecy, history, and Psalms about a nation. It's also stories about many individuals. Now, we knew that, but when you start looking at the names, it even becomes more apparent. And these people are people like you and me. I now pay more attention to the names in Scripture when I read them. They've become more real to me. I know them now by name. Each name has a special purpose in the Bible. The authors of the book, as inspired by God, included them to track genealogy or, in more cases than not, to let us witness the events in their lives. These names and the people that possess them are special. God called them or referred to them for his special purpose. Brethren, your name is special. You're special. And your name might not be in the book in your hand right now, but it may be in the book of life in the hands of God our Father. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 4 and read verses 18 through 22. We are just concluding the days of unleavened bread. We've been called out of Egypt. We've been called to put sin out of our lives. God called us by name. So let's look here at Matthew chapter 4. Starting in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we were sailing along, busy with our own lives, oblivious to God's way of life. And then one day, God called us, and it changed everything. Brethren, reflect on that. Think about that for a moment. As often as you can, God called us. That isn't something we're to take lightly. He called us by name. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 6 and going through 7. God knows us. He knows us better than we do. And we sometimes mask our own behaviors with justification. But God knows our heart. Let's look now here at Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, which was of very little value in those days? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Here's the point I want to emphasize. Verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. See, you have to know someone pretty well to know the number of hairs on their head. I couldn't even begin to imagine that number. But God knows us better than we do. And we can't pretend otherwise. How even more special our calling when we realize how intimately familiar God is with every aspect of our lives. He knows us by name. God knows us. He called us. Why? Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and turn to verse 28. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, to try and rationalize why God called us. I'm sure all of you tried to figure it out. I've tried. I can't. Let's look at again here at Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? According to His purpose. God has a purpose for us. God wants to use us to help others, to teach others for His purpose, just as He used those named in the Bible. They were fulfilling God's will, so we are to do also. God has a purpose for us. Brethren, that's why we're called. We have a job waiting for us in God's kingdom. An individual job specifically chosen for us. A job to fulfill God's purpose for all mankind. An awesome job. An awesome responsibility. Requiring an awesome commitment. Lastly, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. We're at a serious time in world history. It's time to get serious. Who knows when Christ will return? I don't know. None of us know. Only the Father knows. But boy, it sure seems like things are ramping up, doesn't it? And ramping up quickly. And we must be ready. So let's look here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Blessed be God the Father, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. I want to repeat that. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Brethren, God knows our name. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He called us by that name for a purpose that only he knows. And I can't wait for us to get started.